Hello, and welcome back to Let's Talk Packaging, the podcast that gets into the nitty-gritty of what holds your world together. I'm your host, Alec, and I'm very excited about our show today. We're diving deep into a topic that's on everyone's mind: sustainability. How can we make choices that are better for the environment without sacrificing convenience and product safety? We have a special guest in the studio to help us unpack this, someone whose passion for the planet is matched only by her keen eye for design. She's here because she genuinely cares about what happens to our packaging after we're done with it. Please give a warm welcome to Melody.
Alec, thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am so happy to be here. And it's true, I do care. I'm that person who will stand at the recycling bin, carefully reading the little numbers and symbols. So talking about the future of sustainable packaging is my idea of a great afternoon.
We're thrilled to have your expertise. Today, we're tackling a material that's been gaining a lot of traction. You've seen it everywhere, from those sturdy takeout bowls at your favorite lunch spot to the classic egg carton. We are talking about molded fiber. Is it the compostable hero we've all been waiting for, or does it have a few quirks of its own?
That's the big question. We did some digging and found an amazing in-depth article on the Inline Plastics website that breaks it all down. And they really get into the science of it. First off, molded fiber isn't just regular paper. It doesn't start as a sheet. It begins its life as a slurry.
A slurry? That sounds appetizing.
Doesn't it? The article described it as the world's weirdest looking oatmeal, which I found hilarious. And it's an apt description. It's basically ground up pulp fiber mixed with a whole lot of water to create a suspension. This oatmeal-like substance is then pumped into a machine where a screen-covered mold is dipped into it. A vacuum is applied, which pulls the water through the screen, leaving the fibers clinging to the shape of the mold. It's then baked to remove the remaining moisture, which creates the sturdy, paper-like product we see.
And this pulp isn't just from trees, right? The source material can vary quite a bit.
Exactly. While wood pulp is a common source, the industry is increasingly looking at agricultural byproducts. It can come from other sources like bamboo, which grows incredibly fast, or sugarcane bagasse, which is the fibrous material left over after crushing sugarcane stalks. Hemp and even wheat straw are also popular choices. These different fibers have unique characteristics based on their length and density, which affects the final product's strength and texture. This leads to different types of molded fiber. They're actually graded into three main types.
Okay, let's break them down. What's type 1?
Type 1 is the roughest version. Think of the packaging that protects your new electronics when they're shipped. It's all about protection, not looks. Type 2 is a medium-grade fiber, which is what you typically find in egg cartons.
And type 3 must be the premium stuff.
Is. It's the smoothest, most tightly packed, and densest version. This is what's used for food containers, like takeout packaging for salads and sandwiches, because it can handle both hot and cold foods. Its biggest selling point, of course, is compostability.
Right. That's the main appeal. The idea that your lunch container can return to the earth in a matter of months or a few years, instead of persisting for centuries like some plastics, is a huge win. For brands, it's a powerful marketing story. But this is where we get to the quirks. It's not a silver bullet. Despite the environmental benefits, there are some pretty significant operational and performance challenges holding it back from widespread adoption.
Let's talk about the big one first: barrier properties. On its own, molded fiber is essentially a very thick paper product, so it isn't great against moisture and oil. Think about what happens to a paper plate at a barbecue when you put something saucy on it. The Inline Plastics article says it's leak and oil resistant, but not leak or oil proof. There's a big difference. So without some kind of treatment, you might find your salad dressing making a break for it, leading to a soggy container and an unhappy customer.
And this is where things get sticky, both literally and figuratively. To solve this problem, manufacturers used to coat the fiber containers with plastic films or PFAS.
Yes, the notorious forever chemicals. Can you imagine? It's the ultimate sustainability beat and switch. You choose the molded fiber container, feeling good about your choice, but as it breaks down in the compost, it leaves behind a plastic film that will be there long after the fiber is gone.
It completely defeats the purpose. The good news is that the industry is moving towards better alternatives, like PHA coatings.
PHA is fascinating. These coatings actually come from bacteria, nature's own tiny chemical engineers. And unlike other bioplastics that need very specific industrial composting facilities to break down, PHA coatings decompose completely in all sorts of environments. That's a real game changer.
Okay, so that's the barrier issue. What's another challenge?
Product visibility, or rather the complete lack of it. Molded fiber is opaque, and in the world of food merchandising, people want to see what they're buying. We eat with our eyes first, after all. If you're selling a beautiful, vibrant salad, a colorful grain bowl, or a delicate pastry, you don't want to hide it behind a solid wall of fiber. The purchasing potential plummets if customers can't get a good look at the freshness and quality of the product inside.
That makes sense. I've seen some containers with clear lids or little windows to try and solve this, but it's not the same as a fully transparent package. This also ties into another issue, shelf life.
Right. Even with barrier treatments, food in molded fiber packaging often has a shorter shelf life than food in plastic. It's better suited for quick-turn products that are meant to be eaten within a few days, not weeks. Your takeout burger is fine, but a prepackaged salad that needs to last on a grocery store shelf might not be.
So, beyond the material properties, there are also production challenges. This isn't as simple as stamping out plastic containers.
Not at all. The process is much longer, more complex, and more energy intensive. Remember that slurry? It starts at about 90% water. All of that water needs to be removed. It has to go through several pressing and baking stages to get the moisture down to around 5%. That baking process in particular requires a lot of energy, which has its own environmental footprint to consider. All that processing time adds up, and it's a significant factor in the overall cost and scalability.
And time is money. While a plastic production line might churn out hundreds of units a minute, the molded fiber lines are much, much slower. That makes the final product more expensive.
And more limited in design. The vacuum forming process makes complex shapes difficult to achieve. It's not as versatile as plastic in that regard. But despite all these limitations, technology is catching up. Innovations are cutting down cycle times, and those better barrier solutions like PHA are becoming more commercially viable.
I love the analogy the Inline Plastics article used to sum it all up. They said if packaging were a dating app, plastic and molded fiber would have very different profiles.
I loved that. Plastic is the transparent, versatile type with excellent shelf life preservation skills. Very dependable.
And molded fiber is the eco-conscious newcomer with great composting credentials, but it has commitment issues with oil and moisture.
Exactly. And the lesson here is that smart food professionals don't just pick one type and stick with it. They match the material to the specific need. They play the field.
It's about creating a packaging portfolio and being strategic. Need a container for a sandwich that will be eaten in an hour from a quick-service restaurant? Molded fiber might be the perfect fit. It does the job and aligns with a green-minded consumer base. Need that premium salad blend to have a four-day display life in a supermarket under bright lights while looking crisp and fresh? That's where the high barrier properties of plastic probably get the rose.
It's not about allegiance to a single material. It's about finding right-fit solutions. There's no one perfect partner in food packaging, just the right match for a specific product. As technology evolves, both of these materials will continue to find their place.
That's a perfect way to put it. This has been incredibly insightful, Melody. Thank you for breaking down the complex world of molded fiber for us.
My pleasure, Alec. It was so much fun. And for our listeners who want to dive even deeper, I highly recommend visiting the Inline Plastics website. Their learning center is packed with fantastic articles like the one we discussed today.